to the second hour of In Defense of Humanity. My name is Al Whitney. My website is anticorruptionsociety.com. And tonight we're talking about what is your legal character. I'm going to finish this up pretty quickly here and open it up to anyone who would like to call in. For those who don't know the call number, and a lot of our callers seem to have it memorized, which is super, the call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. Again, 1-800-313-9443. Okay, so we were talking about under penalty of perjury. Now, that means, and I think I just explained, if you're going to submit an affidavit of fact, and I can see many reasons for doing that. I've actually participated in that myself. When you do that, it is required, basically, that you do some kind of, you attest that this is true to the best of your knowledge. And you can do this, and you do this by using the term under penalty of perjury. Okay, so, but there's two choices. Which one should I use? And I'm going to read them both. Number one, if executed without the United States, I repeat, if executed without the United States. Now, the United States is a corporation, as we have said many times. But this is what you would say. I declare, or certified, verified, or state, under penalty of perjury, under the laws of the United States of America, that the foregoing is true and correct. Executed on such and such a date, and then you sign it. Choice two, if executed within the United States, its territories, possessions, or commonwealths, I declare, or certify, verify, or state under penalty of perjury that the foregoing is true and correct, executed on such and such a date, and a signature. So that is how we determine that you've got two political characters to pick from. One is the corporate citizen of United States Corporation, and the other is not a citizen of the United States Corporation. We don't have to say what we are. We only need to say what we are not to get out from under their jurisdiction. Because if you say you're a state citizen, a state national, it doesn't matter. There are no state courts that are going to function for you. Your state doesn't have its own money. Most states have kind of even lost their militias. There's really all the state buildings have been taken over by the state corporation. So stating what you are is not near as important as stating what you're not. I hope people start to understand that. Maybe as some of these movements get further along, we will have an identity that we could put in there, conceivably, that would be recognized by the corporation. But right now, they're all in commerce. It's all commercial. They're all doing business. And they need you to sign as a legal person so that you are committed to their rules, regulations, fines, fees, and penalties. And indeed, they will try to inflict all of the above on you. So if anybody would like to call in and share their thoughts, we'd be happy to hear from that. I know that's quite a bit, but I think it might be the easiest to understand and maybe the simplest way to get it on the record that we are not a dead legal fiction person. Somehow, we've got to get that on the record. There's just simply, we are alive. And that is really resurrecting yourself from the dead. There's no other way to look at it. Okay, we do have a caller, Mike from Kentucky. Good evening, Mike.
Yeah, I've had some fun over the years, I guess, trying to explore some of this, and ran into a few things and listened to a few programs and went and, you know, dug around and stumbled across some few choice fun words that I noticed that they're using. Like, they don't talk about paying a fine much anymore. They like for you to settle the fine. Okay. You can't pay it with no money. There's no lawful money, so you have to settle the fine with the clerk. here in Kentucky. Here in Kentucky, you can go find that they still have documents that you can file that are stamped state of Kentucky, which we had four constitutions so far, and the first two, I think they changed it in like 1850 when they changed some other things that were supposed to remain forever outside the scope of government to alter. The first two constitutions had Bill of Rights sections that were not supposed to be able to be changed by the government. And they changed to, they kind of said, okay, we're not doing business as state of Kentucky anymore. All process and mandates are now done in the name of Commonwealth of Kentucky. And that was in 1850.
Okay.
And I don't know what they're doing now, but I've noticed in these drug cases in the drug war, you will see sometimes somebody will take on, like, the state of Arizona, and they'll tack on et al. Or they'll tack, you know, they'll go after, say, the attorney general, state attorney general, of the state of Arizona, and they'll say et al, you know, which means in Latin all others, which could be all the other names that the state is operating under. And I started running around in the state, what is it, the secretaries of states. You can look up all these corporate names in the various states. Secretary of State keeps them on file. And their status. And I found up in Ohio, U period S period A period Inc., USA Inc., and it was on file in the Secretary of State for the state of Ohio, if you believe Ohio is really a state. I'm not sure it is. It had to be made a state by executive order, if you know about that story. But in the Commonwealth of Kentucky state, a Secretary of State's office, I went and looked that up, and USA, you know, U period S period A period Inc., the status was listed as bad. And then I found these all these towns, instead of city of Mount Sterling, there's Mount Sterling Incorporated.
Right.
And and the same board of directors, they were all incorporated down in North Carolina.
Right.
And it turns out it was a series of auto parts stores that were running. They were naming their auto parts stores for the town that they were doing business in after that town. So you had, you know, here in our town, you had Moorhead KY Inc. And you're like, what? And now, of course, the cities have got all these development things like that have similar names, and it's a real web of interesting corporate names. So what I call to ask you about was I was listening to one of these shows that covers this type of topic. It wasn't yours. It's several years ago. A guy out of Florida had done the research, and he went in and he got a American national passport. It wasn't a U.S. passport. And the guy, you know, he caught an older guy. He actually had the big old paper book with all the regulations in it, and he was able to tell him where to look it up in there. Now, a lot of everything's went digital and all this sort of stuff, but this was actually, I guess, a paper volume. And he said, look, you know, look in there at 643, paragraph B or whatever. And he was able to go in there with like a school ID and some other form of identification. It wasn't a state driver's license. It wasn't any of these corporate fictions that you're talking about. And he was able to get a passport in Florida at, like, an airport that was not a U.S. passport, which is for a fictional person like you're talking about.
I have heard someone else said you could go and get an American national passport. But the problem will be, and I'm not opposed to doing that, the problem is still going to be you've got this rest of this structure that's all around you. You still have to declare yourself alive.
Yeah.
In other words, that's only half of the formula is what is your political character. The other half is are you living or dead? And if you don't declare yourself alive, Mike, they don't care what your passport is. You know, you don't have the right to have one if you're still dead.
Well, and you're supposed to have, when you go in front of these venues, you're supposed to have, in our Constitution in Kentucky and probably many others, you have the right before you enter a plea, if they, you know, they get you in before the court and you know, you're being compelled to enter a plea. You're supposed to, in order to be able to enter an intelligent plea, ask for both the nature and the cause in what's called a bill of particulars. But they will ignore you, from my experience and from the other people that I know have tried this. They simply restate the charges, and they will, like, list your artificial person with Social Security number and everything that they've got on you, and ignore your demand for a bill of particulars.
Correct.
If you label it, stylize it as a motion, you know, pre-plea demand, you know, and do it even in a private capacity to the officials that are involved, you know, and serve them all. They just ignore it all because they're under national emergency. They think they can do anything.
Well, not only that, if you go back to the UCC rules, and again, I advise everyone who's listening to go to anticorruptionsociety.com and scroll down, and at the very bottom is UCC general provisions. It's not a lot of pages. I think it's only 10. The UCC doesn't have due process. So what you're asking for isn't recognized in Uniform Commercial Code. That's why they ignore you. It's not recognized in their legal system. Remember, they're functioning under a presumption. The fact that you're there, the presumption is that you are the legal juristic person, and you have to figure out a way to nullify whatever agreement they think that they're functioning under, where the presumption is that you agreed to wear that hat. So they don't even hear you when you make these comments. I mean, they can ignore you because you're not addressing them in the language that they can actually hear. Does that make sense?
Or that they're willing to hear.
They can't hear it. They can't acknowledge outside of that parameters. They look at your paperwork and they decide, is this an enforceable agreement or enforceable contract or not? That's their whole goal, is when they go in there, is to make the determination whether they can enforce this contract or agreement.
So that's one way that these judges are able to say, I do not want the Constitution in my court, you know, it's academic.
Right. Exactly. It's academic. That's exactly why they do it.
They post all these documents, the founding documents, on the walls in these courthouses and stuff like that. And you can't. You're not able to reach that venue because it's not where you're at.
That's right. That court can't see that. The court can't decide on that. The court's there in commerce. You're there as a CUSIP number. You're there as a Social Security number. You're there as a dead legal fiction person.
A subject, resident, human resource, whatever they've defined you as.
That's right.
But you can try to tell them you are a man upon the soil, and they ignore it. They won't hear you.
No, and that's why it's important to have this document that we're talking about, which is a no-risk effort. I don't know why anyone thinks there's a risk, because just by creating this condition precedent and owning it, having it sit on your desk, you're prepared for something that might come along because you've already told the world.
Does it do any good to do like public notices in their miscellaneous books where, like I'm talking about here in Kentucky, the stuff that you file in there is not even stamped Commonwealth of Kentucky, it's in the precursor state of Kentucky.
So where are you thinking about putting a notice?
A public notice in like a miscellaneous book and maybe the paper of record, because in our state, every county has a paper of record, so you can, any place that you're considered a man upon the soil, or maybe where you were actually naturally born, perhaps, you know, put a notice in there that says, you know, that I was not informed or a party to this contract, or the informants lied when they signed the birth certificate.
Well, no, you don't even have to do that. It's so much simpler than that. But the public notice that you're talking about, that's a good idea, and we did have that on the page. If you haven't read it yet, it's at anticorruptionsociety.com at the top tab. Yeah. One of them says condition, notice of condition precedent or precedent, whichever way you want to say it. But, you know, most of these people who are giving out this advice are doing overkill. We don't need all that. We don't need anything about the land. That's unimportant. And I cannot emphasize this enough. It doesn't matter if you're a state citizen or American national. None of that matters. None of it matters. Doesn't matter if you're on the land or if you're on a boat. What matters is whether or not you are a legal fiction. That's what matters. If you are a legal fiction and you don't rebut that presumption, they will inflict everything on you as part of the contract. Whatever you might have signed, it'll get inflicted on you.
I guess you've looked at or studied the Montana Freeman and some of the stuff that they did by trying to create a common law venue.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult. I don't begrudge. I know the people in Michigan are trying to establish something, and I'm not opposed to that at all. But I believe that all these people have also put forth a notice establishing who they are and who they are not.
The mainstream media actually reported on it when Jack Kevorkian was doing physician-assisted suicide in the early days. There was actually no statute to cover what he was doing, and I think it was in Wisconsin or Michigan. And the court openly, you know, the media even reported on it, that the court convened itself in common law in order to bring him in that status or that so it's like they're sitting there with they're occupying vacant offices and they're not in that capacity. So that's, I think, how some people have decided to try to force them out of this commercial code with these motions. But you're saying when you approach the court at all, you're
right,
already presumed to be an artificial U.S. person.
Right. Absolutely. You've got to kill that presumption. Anything else you do will not have any effect on that court if that presumption isn't killed. And the best way to do it, to our knowledge at this moment, is to make sure you do a public notice just like the one I read. It's not complicated. It's not scary. Nobody's going to knock on your door because we're quoting the order of the executive CEO of the United States. We are actually abiding by his offer. Okay? That's not a sovereign citizen. That's none of the above. We are taking advantage of the offer the CEO made to the people of the states that we are free to define our political and legal character, and that's all we are doing. It's just that we understand that we're also correcting the record.
Well, and you don't have to. I know there was 20-some years ago, there was this fad that went around called cancelatura, because if you're a party to a contract you're not even aware of, then that voids the contract, because you have to have a meeting of the minds, or like threat, duress, and coercion voids those contracts. There's not full disclosure. People don't realize what their status is and what's been done to them and how they're operating. So you would think that you could say, wait a minute, hey, I didn't agree to this, you know. Oh, there's no conscious meeting of the mind.
Okay, Mike, that's great. I'm glad you brought that up. Let me explain, okay? In UCC, and we've talked about it, it's all contract, okay? And it's contracts with everybody within the government. It's all contracts and presumptions. There is no due process in UCC other than did you sign it or didn't you, and there's no full disclosure. It functions under presumptions, adhesion contracts.
So you can't even claim fraud or coercion or
not until you bring yourself back to life. Okay, we'll be back shortly. Hang in there.
Hi, folks. In a world of GMO, genetically modified organisms, that is, chemicals, processed foods, and a healthcare system that's unraveling like a cheap suit, it's time to prepare. God created herbs, and herbs help man. Our body can heal itself, just sometimes we need assistance. You need some help? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Our mild detox is quite powerful with its unique blend of 8 different herbs. And if you're looking for more, our non-GMO supplements will help you with different needs you might have. Health should be a top priority. Take care of your health naturally. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Give your body a treat. Let the herbs do their thing naturally. Read all the testimonies on the website. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Sickness and viruses are like intruders, and herbs are like warriors. Let the tea work for you. That's GetTheTea.com.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The 5 tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I'm Al Whitney. You're listening to In Defense of Humanity, and we've been talking again about this whole idea of presumptions. Mike brought up a good point. Thank you, Mike. I wanted to kind of read this again because it's really important that we all understood it. It took me a while. It takes a while to get this into our head that if we're in UCC, it's a whole different can of worms. And because they keep us in the dark, we keep being victimized again and again and again. We're just trying to shed some light on what it means when the country is being run as a commercial enterprise under the Uniform Commercial Code, and the population is not being told that that is going on. So let me read. Mike was right. In a normal, fair, reasonable world, all contracts require a mutual agreement. Judge Dale said that, and he did a good job of explaining it. We have the basics of a contract in Lawfully Yours. It's one of the appendix, and he's absolutely right. But what they have done is they have created a doctrine, a rule of law called presumption. I'm going to read it again. I read it before, but this is so important. This is Black Law's Dictionary. People don't know this, but a presumption is a rule of law, statutory or judicial, by which finding of a basic fact gives rise to existence of a presumed fact until presumption is rebutted. A legal device which operates in the absence of other proof to require that certain inferences be drawn from the available evidence. That's what they do in court. They make the presumption that you are there on behalf of the legal person, and you're going to sign paperwork on the behalf of the legal person. You're going to wear that mask and endure whatever that court wants you to endure. This is why it's just so critical that we put this other confusing stuff aside and focus on rebutting these two mountainous presumptions. But they're not hard. We're not talking about something that's difficult. It's relatively easy. Well, Mike, was there anything else? We have two more callers waiting.
Oh, okay. Presumption. The whole legal system operates with prima facie. Every law that's passed is considered on its face to be the law until it's proved otherwise. And so even if you're asking for a bill of particulars, they ain't going to give you the legislative record that shows that the legislature enacted that. I mean, they just ignore all that. So even if you're supposed, that's supposed to be able to get that by the, you know, by the rules of criminal procedure or whatever, civil procedure, you're supposed to be able to get that so you can know to enter an intelligent plea. But what I don't think a lot of people get in that, and I've never called myself a sovereign citizen, because they're propagandized against that to the point to where, and that's the problem, is most of these agents of the corporation or whatever, they are so propagandized against people that are doing this sort of stuff that, they're going to escalate the violence almost immediately.
That's why if you take another look at the condition precedent, you don't see anything in there. It's all worded around their system, okay? It's not a defiant doctrine. All it is defining your character. That's it. And there's no mention of sovereign, nothing. It's just here I am, I'm a flesh and blood living man, and I'm not a U.S. citizen. There it is. You know, I mean, that's not fighting words, folks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you hope.
Thanks, Mike. We got two other callers. And thank you so much for calling. And as usual, you had great things to add. Okay, we have Ed in Dallas. Good evening, Ed. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you, Al?
I'm good.
Hey, I want to tell you that I agree with everything. My research agrees with everything that you're saying up to the letter.
Well, gosh, that's great.
I've been doing research for about 30 years, I guess, on this issue. And, But there's one other hurdle that the attorneys have thrown at us, and we need to do our research on it, which I've already done. And that is, all right, there's one other entity that is included in a, what they call a commercial entity. There's one other entity, and that is an alien, okay? They're included in that group because they're not lawful, so they can be used as one of the commercial entities, okay? So here's what the attorneys have done, and this is one issue that you might not be aware of. But they threw another hurdle in front of us, and that hurdle is in 1906. Well, no, let me say it this way. Up to 1906, the way that a person naturalized in this country was through the judicial branch.
Okay, hang in there. We're going to go to break. This is our long break. We'll be back in about 5 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Okay, welcome back to In Defense of Humanity, and we are talking with Ed in Dallas. Ed, I just you talked about 1906. I think the whole system changed in the 30s when they brought in the Federal Reserve note, and they stole the people's gold, and they created this birth certificate scam that's ongoing to today, and the Social Security Act and all of that. The system, and then they finished it off with the UCC in the 50s and 60s. So whatever happened before the 30s doesn't really apply today anymore.
Well, yeah, it does. Yeah, it does, because it's the law.
It doesn't matter.
And what I'm talking about, let me explain.
They're making the law.
Let me explain to you so you'll understand. When a person comes to this country, they originally, before 1906, you have to have standing to do what you're talking about. You have to have standing to challenge the issue that you've been talking about on your program. And if you don't have standing, then they don't have to listen to you. And so there's a presumption that every person that comes in is either an entity, as you have put forth, okay, or an alien. And an alien has no standing to challenge what you're talking about. And so what they did in 1906 was they moved the naturalization process from the judicial branch to the legislative branch, specifically to the Bureau of Labor and Commerce, okay? And so when they did that, they disconnected the law, the actual organic, as the Supreme Court calls it, the organic law, from the people. And so if your people came over, let me just show you how this works. If your people came over after 1906, and they said, well, where do I go get naturalized? Well, then everybody's going to tell them they got to go to the Bureau of Labor and Commerce to get naturalized. Well, guess what? The certificate that you get as a naturalized citizen from them is not worth the paper it's written on, because it's not lawful citizenship. So therefore, not only that, but they have moved it again in 2001 to the executive branch of government. It's never gone back to the judicial branch of government. And the only way you can become a lawful citizen and have standing to challenge all of what you're saying is you have to have a judicial determination that you are a citizen of this country. That's what the legislature did, or our Congress did, in okay. the original.
All right, Ed, I'm going to have to stop you there because I'm absolutely, you're incorrect about that. You don't have a country.
No, I'm not.
Now, Ed, hold on. You don't have a country, okay? You don't live in a country. You live in a corporate reality. This is a corporation. There's no such thing as a citizen of a corporation, okay? So when you talk about citizenship, standing, you don't want standing. The only way you get standing is to get out from under the citizenship presumption. Today, as of 1938, I don't know if you knew everything that happened with that bankruptcy, but the whole thing was turned upside down, and the country is now a corporation being run by the money monsters. The Treasury doesn't belong to the Treasury. So there is no citizenship. You don't want to be a citizen. I don't know if you heard the beginning of the
show.
That's
just what I just said. You have to be a lawful, talking about organic, lawful citizen, or else you have no standing to challenge anything that goes on.
Let me explain. There's no such thing as a lawful citizen. It doesn't exist today in this corporate reality. There is no creature like that. So,
right, because since 1906, hasn't been.
We're not challenging. We don't need standing. That's what I'm hoping that you could kind of wrap your head around.
Well, I've done exactly what you said, and I've rebutted it properly with legal papers. I've rebutted as a matter of fact, I had a court case where I was in there probably an hour and a half doing my argument on this very issue. And they did not hear it at all. They ran right over it and forced me to appeal it. And if I'd appealed it, I would have got the same thing. They would have run right over me and assumed that I didn't have standing to bring the appeal.
Okay, let's review this a little bit. Thanks, Ed. I'm going to kind of try to straighten this out. When you're in their court, mm-hmm. it's their game. It's their game. They're running UCC courts. They're not going to hear you. They can't hear you. So the best you can do in their courts for the moment is to rebut the presumption that you're a legal person under their jurisdiction. Now, I've seen it happen where people have gone into court and said to the judge, I am a flesh and blood living woman. You're the corporation. We cannot see each other. And the judge, three different times, said case dismissed. That's the best you're going to do because they're not courts of justice. They're not courts with due process. These today are administrative courts of a bankruptcy that took place in 1933. You're not going to get standing. The best you can do is get out from under their jurisdiction. Take another look at the condition precedent page that we put up. It gives the history of how this all happened in the 30s, how the birth certificate was brought in, how all of this was created by stealth, and then they brought in the UCC to complete the job. If you haven't read Attorney Melvin Stamper's book, Fruit from a Poisonous Tree, particularly Chapter 2, I strongly recommend you do that because he puts it eloquently in a fashion that I think almost everybody can understand. So, standing is not an issue. Getting out from under their jurisdiction is. Thank you, Ed. We have two other callers.
Okay. Well, there's one other word that you need to look up. Look up the word resolution in Wikipedia or under West's Dictionary of the Law. And let me tell you, once you read that, it's going to blow your mind as to what these so-called laws that they're passing are. In fact, and it goes in great depth as to what they are. And well, they,
They're corporate rules, because it's all a corporate construct. So whatever
it's less than that. It's less than that. They say they resemble the opinions expressed by a newspaper on its editorial page. That's what it
well,
says.
Well, no, it cannot be less. It's a corporation, and they pass rules for them all, for themselves. And because exactly. We know it's a corporation, they admit it's a corporation, and we all know how corporations function. They're passing rules for their own corporations, and they're expecting us to be the dead legal corporate fictions and abide by these rules. Right. And until we say we're not, this
they
game
are, they are a private corporate. See, listen, let me tell you the difference.
Okay,
the
wait, hold on, Ed. I got two other callers. Let me move it along, because we're running out of time. Thank you for calling,
okay.
And you did raise some.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Gary in Ohio. I live in Ohio. Gary, where are you in Ohio?
You live in Ohio, or do you live in the state of Ohio?
Where are you located?
Oh, just south of Columbus there.
Oh, okay, not far.
Yeah,
all
not
right.
far. Well, my thing is you talk about the UCC and all this stuff. But where does it actually apply?
Everywhere. Let me give you an example. And I was going to say about this. I was going to give this example today. Recently, a relative wanted to adopt a dog. Okay?
Yeah.
So she went to the county animal shelter. Now, that's owned by the corporate county, the corporation called the county.
I understand that.
But it's a distinct, different entity of the county, and it has its own rules, its own documents.
Right.
Okay, so and I said to her, when you get this pet, if you get one from the county, would you save all the paperwork? Because I'd like to see what kind of scam they're running. So
right.
She agreed. And she went and she got the dog and had to sign a paperwork. Okay? There was
right.
a contract, an adoption
right.
contract, and it says right on there, adoption contract. It doesn't say agreement. It says adoption
right.
contract, and she had to sign it. Now, the items mentioned, and I looked at this when they typed up the contract, they spelled her name, and they called her the owner, and they spelled her name the way you and I would, most of us, write our name, which
right.
is we capitalize the first letter.
Right.
Okay. So that's how they filled out this paperwork and handed it to her with her name in that form. So she takes the dog home, takes the paperwork home, and I looked at the paperwork, and here is, at the top of the one page, it says animal adoption contract. Then you scroll down, and it says adoption agreement. All of a sudden, we've gone from contract to agreement. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Now, it states that adopting a dog means accepting responsibility for your new pet. You go down, and they want your signature, and they want you to date it. Okay. She gets in the mail 2 days ago, and she brings it to me, a
right.
letter from the county auditor.
Right.
Now, this is an application to get a license.
Right.
And it'll cost $18 a year. And I'm reading this, and I realize, and people have to understand, an application is an offer. Okay,
right.
That's why it's called an application. This is
right.
an offer to contract with the county to pay them $18 every
right.
year. In return, they'll send you this little hickey bob. But this time, the document came with her name in all caps.
Yeah, but my question is what county do you live in?
Well, let's go down in the bottom. This is going on all over the country. At the bottom, this is what they want her to say. And this is important because this is her making a confession, basically. And I tried to explain that to her. Because now they want her to contract with the county. Okay?
Right.
So they're going to offer her this, give her this offer. Do you want a contract with the county? So in the application for dog registration, they list the details of the dog's age, of which she can't verify because she doesn't know when the dog was born.
Right.
They want her to verify that the dog is a male, they got the color wrong, then they've got the name wrong.
Right.
So at the bottom of it, they've got this little box for her to sign, and this is where she would be contracting. And here's
right, that's
what the
full
box
rule under UCC.
Exactly. And this is okay. what it says. I, the undersigned, now then it says owner with a capital W, keeper with a capital K, or harborer with a capital H of the dog listed above, declare under penalty of perjury that the information is true and accurate to the best of my knowledge. Now okay. they want her to sign it and date it. So what they're okay. asking her to do is make their information credible, to give it what they don't already have, which is an acknowledgement that she has an agreement with them, and here are the particulars, and this is going to be her obligation. And I told her, this is an offer. If you send that back, right. then they're going to impose all the rules and restrictions of that county corporation on you.
Right. Okay, well, that's my whole thing. Does people know you can't live in a county?
Well, I understand.
It's not a geographical area of 1802 in Ohio, so therefore you cannot live in it. It's a private corporation.
Yeah, it is all a private corporation.
Absolutely. But my point is how do these laws apply to me and you? Because they're limited only to property that's owned by the United States. Therefore, these counties are not doing the right thing.
Well, what they're all doing is they're all engaged in commerce. So
that's
right,
but they're still bound to only federal property. See, that's the whole problem. They're not allowed to do what they're doing. Absolutely.
No. Gary, you know what overcomes that? You know what overcomes that?
What's that?
Your signature.
No. Signature is a promissory note. I get that.
No. When you sign that you consent to their structure...
I understand it's consent.
Then
you can't consent to fraud.
Of course you can. Let me explain. Of course you can. You can consent to fraud. And people find that confusing.
If you don't know it, it's fraud.
Nope, you can consent.
That's what these people are doing.
You can consent to fraud. I did it myself with my bank.
We all do it with banks. I get that.
My bank said to me, here's the terms and conditions, and we're not disclosing everything. And we admit we're not disclosing everything.
Okay, well, if they didn't admit everything, then I get that.
So here's the thing.
You went ahead and consented on that part of it. I get that.
But you can consent to fraud.
You can consent to anything. Absolutely. That's what they want when you go into these private courts. They want you to consent because they're called banker courts. Right. I get it. Okay, right. I understand all that. But what I'm trying to tell you is that stuff only applies on certain areas. It does not apply everywhere.
It applies anywhere you put your signature.
The problem is, it doesn't apply.
It applies if you assented. And that's what people don't understand.
But you don't consent. You don't consent if you don't know the whole contract.
Well, again, we're back to that. So I said to my friend, don't sign it. Or if you feel you must sign it, restrict your signature to without prejudice.
Just put a box around it.
That's not going to make a difference. You have to say without prejudice to reserve
whatever
rights that you want to bring in later to make the claim that you're not a legal fiction person. And that's what the condition preceding. Did you listen to the beginning of the show, Gary?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know about that artificial person. I get it.
Okay,
it's their deal. I get all that.
Well, but their deal stands unless it's rebutted. It stands.
Well, that's what we do when we take this stuff to court. Absolutely, rebut it right up in a counterclaim. Absolutely.
Well, again,
but most people don't know what a county is. They don't know what a city of is. That's just like the other day. One of the guys up in New York, he asked that judge and that attorney or that prosecutor. He said, "Well, define of for us." Objection, objection. Even the judge was objecting. Because of, once you start, defining it, they don't like it. Because that brings out that corporation part of it. And that's all they are, is corporations. That's just like they're not allowed to give you a ticket on the side of the road.
Okay, we're going to have to. Okay, Gary, we're going to have to cut this off because we're running out of time. I just want to.
I know what you're saying about your signature. I get all that.
Right, and I wanted to say one thing that people don't seem to understand. In our country today, the highest is contract law. Contract law supersedes any other form of law. Everybody really needs to get that. Contract law supersedes every other form of law. If you contract and agree to fraud, then they can enforce a fraudulent document on you. A contract, if you agree, that contract reigns supreme in law merchant, which is where we're at. So anyway, I hope people stay tuned for our final segment of the show, which is an imaging prayer. And it gives us time to be quiet and listen to beautiful music and image the world we know our children deserve, the world we know we all deserve, and putting our energy and creating that image could truly change what's going on. Thank you and good night, and we'll be back next week.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with 3 shots from the rear and 1 shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
We'd like to end tonight's show by reaching up to a higher power, whatever that might mean to you, to assist us in creating the future we all want. Close your eyes as you listen to this beautiful song by Inca Gold called Shout to the Lord. And image families and children enjoying Earth's healthy meadows, forests, oceans, and mountains in perpetuity. Image them laughing, singing, and dancing. Visualize humanity thriving, free from want or fear. Picture the peaceful world we all deserve. Let's joyfully create our future together.
To a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with 3 shots from the rear and 1 shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
This is the alternative media. Exposing